So my name is José Bové. Listen to health writers if you are concerned about the health of the body politic.
Good evening, and welcome to Health Writers on the Air. I'm your host, Mary Moyer. In tonight's show, we are featuring MEDIC, the free health clinic run by students from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. The MEDIC clinics are admirably trying to fill a gap in our healthcare system by providing care to the underserved, unemployed, and uninsured. Additionally, the clinics provide medical students with a unique experience in serving the community and understanding the needs and complexities of healthcare access in our society. Health writer Steve Blank and myself recently visited one of the MEDIC clinics at the Salvation Army Shelter on East Washington Avenue here in Madison. There, we spoke to MEDIC staff and a few of the patients visiting the clinic that evening. Let's listen to our conversation. I'm speaking with three students from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health Clinic, MEDIC Clinic, Parker Hertz, the council president, Christina Folk, and Dan Hurdle. And Parker's giving us an overview of MEDIC and how it got started.
MEDIC is a network of seven student-run free clinics that operates as a program of the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. The goals of the program are really twofold. The first is to provide quality patient care to Madison's medically underserved and uninsured. And the second is to provide a unique learning opportunity for UW health profession students. The program is run by a group of 40 or so health profession students that represent the MD, nursing, PA, PT, and pharmacy programs at the University of Wisconsin. The program was founded in 1991 by Dr. Goodfriend and a group of medical students who were interested in gaining more exposure to patients earlier on in their education, as well as providing a service to fulfill a need that they saw in the uninsured and the homeless of Madison.
How does MEDIC fund itself?
So MEDIC takes advantage of a variety of funding sources. We have several endowments that have been established by various generous donors over the years. We also have student fundraising. We do things like sell T-shirts or have various 5K runs throughout the year. And lastly, there are a number of donors who make either one-time or recurring donations that we use to pay for the medications and some of the services that we provide.
Christina, how long have you been volunteering with MEDIC?
I signed up to volunteer with MEDIC this past fall in August.
And what prompted you to volunteer with MEDIC?
So I've heard about MEDIC before because I'm from the Madison area, and I just like their mission to, you know, help provide health care to the underserved communities. That's one of the reasons I've decided to study medicine. It does give you the broader perspective of some of the, I guess you could say, faults in our medical system. For a medical student to see the bigger picture, it also provides a good experience for us because as med students, we don't really see a lot of students from other health professions. So it's a really neat opportunity to work with other health professions that we listed before, like the PT, the PA, the nursing, and the pharmacy, because at the end of the day, we all have to work together to improve the health of our communities. That's how the healthcare system works.
We asked Daniel Hurdle to talk about why he studied medicine as well.
I think that I have similar reasons. I felt that medicine was one of the greatest ways that I would be able to give back to the community, but also in my mind, the world. It's maybe a lofty dream to have, but something that has definitely driven me to go where I am now.
You know, we're talking with very altruistic students so far. You know, I was hoping to run into somebody who went into medicine to buy a Jaguar and suddenly determined that, There are people out there who just don't have access to health care. It's awful and changed their lives. But apparently you've had these thoughts in your head for a long time. When did you discover that Medic existed and was an opportunity for you to be a volunteer?
It was something that I learned about early on in medical school at an activities fair that we have. It was one of the most attractive tables at the activity fair with many really excited people who were not only excited to be a part of Medic, but really wanted us to be at that table to really share their passion with us, and it was extremely contagious.
Dan discusses the most important thing he's discovered while volunteering at Medic.
Being at clinic and seeing how many problems that patients encounter that are arguably due largely to the situation that they're in, that we can address their acute problems, maybe even acute exacerbations of their chronic problems, but ultimately it's opened my eyes to things even beyond medicine that really need to be addressed, and things that as a physician we can potentially have a significant impact in.
Tell me what you're thinking when you say beyond medicine.
I think that could include changing the infrastructure of medicine itself so that people are able to access the care that they need. It could also include addressing the issues of homelessness and poverty right in our community that will maybe even decrease the need for some of the medical services that they provide, that we provide, excuse me.
When you say access to healthcare, what do you think the greatest obstacle to access for healthcare is beyond poverty? In terms of how our system works, what would you consider that obstacle, the biggest obstacle for people gaining access to healthcare?
Just as large of an obstacle is people's awareness of how to navigate the system, how to enter the system, and where to go for the continued care that's needed to really provide the service that we all strive to provide.
Are there people who you've served who have serious issues that in your mind you're saying, oh my gosh, this person's not going to get the help they need?
I think that in most cases, we can provide a service and feel that we've been able to help. I think there are many situations in which we feel that we can't quite help enough or that we want to help more. This is especially prevalent in dealing with people who suffer from mental health diseases.
Parker Hertz.
I think there are certainly times when I've worked with patients and I've realized that so many of the problems seem beyond what any healthcare system that I know of is really designed to address. Mm. When it's not just the fact that they have high blood pressure, but things like stress are contributing, and it's because they're in an abusive relationship or because they're responsible for providing food for their four kids, and they're about to lose their job because their employer is scaling back or about to shut down. There are all these different social factors that play into these health issues that that a modern U.S. healthcare system isn't designed to address. And I think it's part of the reason is because it goes beyond the scope of what we typically consider healthcare. There are all these upstream factors that that really aren't addressed in a clinical setting, but are really addressed in more of a either a political or a policy or an advocacy setting. And ideally, I think that's one role that Medic plays in student education, is exposing them to these issues, these upstream factors, so they can see them in real life and hopefully have the tools or at least the experience to start to think about where we can go with some of these issues, how we might be able to address them.
Is that something you've been thinking about, Parker?
It certainly is. Mm-hmm. Yes.
How do you see Medic influencing the way your career and future is shaped? Do you think perhaps that you will be a member of an association or an organization that tries to address some of these socioeconomic issues?
I think it's really shown to me the potential that healthcare providers have to serve as advocates for their patients. They're in a very unique situation, in a unique position where they can understand where patients are coming from, or have an opportunity to understand where patients are coming from, to hear their story, to really see the factors that are contributing to health or contributing to disease. And I think in that sense are really have a unique sort of credibility when it comes to sharing with the public some of the issues that might be contributing to disease in our country, in our community. And I think in that way, healthcare providers have a sort of responsibility to serve as advocates for patients, because they're privy to this knowledge, to this experience. They get to look into these patients' lives in a way that other people just don't have the opportunity to do.
Daniel Hurdle.
I think one of the most important roles that I could see myself developing into in the future is not only as an advocate for patients, but also as an educator to clinicians, because part of the problem is that not every medical professional is equipped to deal with these issues either on an individual level. And the more we can increase the awareness throughout that population, we can hope that it will eventually have a trickle-down effect and have a larger impact.
Christina Falk.
The nicest things about Medic, it really does expose us all to a lot of issues, and you're not going to find anyone like on the council who comes to volunteer we all have some reason to be here, and we all want to provide back to our community, and we all know that there are these issues, and this is a great learning opportunity for us to really get familiar with it and, you know, in our futures become advocates, because essentially, you know, if there's going to be any change in healthcare or anything, it's going to be like our generations that have to deal with the problems and have to know the issues and, you know, come together as like healthcare providers, not just doctors, you know, it's nursing, PT, pharmacy. We all help take care of our communities. And that's one of the goals of Medic, you know, to educate us, because we are the future providers.
What is the percentage of students in the medical school that are exposed to Medic?
Within the medical school, between first and second year medical students, about 50 to 60% of those students are involved with Medic every year, and I'd say even more of the first year students are involved with Medic. Probably upwards of 75 or 80% of them have volunteered with Medic at least once.
Getting to who you serve, some of the target population or patient demographics. Can you give me a picture of who you serve?
Most of our patients are uninsured. They include the homeless, the working poor, individuals who have recently lost their insurance coverage or are currently unemployed. Most of our patients are between 20 and 60 years old, although we do see some who are very old, and we do see some younger patients here at the Salvation Army. Most of our patients are also uninsured, and most are unemployed. 20% of them have medical assistance or public insurance. We see all races and ethnicities, primarily more minorities than white, predominantly English-speaking, but about 20% of our patients speak Spanish.
Do you have student volunteers that speak Spanish?
Yeah, we do. Most of our Spanish-speaking patients are seen at our Southside Medic Clinic, and at that clinic we make sure that every week we have students there who speak Spanish. If for some reason our students can't meet the Spanish-speaking patients' needs, we also have front desk staff there who are fluent in Spanish, who can interpret. Occasionally, too, we'll also have patients who don't speak English or Spanish who come to any number of our clinics. And in that case, we have medical students who speak a variety of languages on an on-call list that we can call in a clinic.
Oh, okay.
We also have a phone interpreter service if we need to.
How many persons does Medic serve monthly across all the clinics?
So every year, Medic typically sees between 1,600 and 1,800 patients. Last year we saw about 1,650 patients and held about 218 individual clinics throughout the course of the year. when you combine all of our 7 sites.
How comprehensive are the services that you offer? What types of health care do you deliver?
So Medic mainly focuses on providing acute care. We're not set up and don't really try to serve as a long-term care provider, just because we don't have the resources to do that at this point. So we're best suited to treat acute conditions. That said, we'll often have patients come in who have chronic conditions, hypertension, diabetes, high cholesterol, a lot of these conditions that are really very common in the group of patients that we serve. And when that's the case, we do our best to sort of get them into the system and to help them access other resources that might be able to provide longer-term care.
So what you're talking about are people without health insurance who will need long-term care and perhaps have a serious condition that needs tending to that Medic can't respond to. You will get them on the road to navigating our healthcare system to finance their healthcare?
No, we typically don't help with filling out paperwork for Medicaid or Badger Care, but we do have some different community partners who do help with those things. So the Meritor Health Program, for example, is one place where we refer a lot of patients, and they have the ability to help people fill out that paperwork to get access to more long-term care. We also have some referrals who are willing to provide services pro bono for our patients. And in that case, we can help them get some of the long-term care that they need or the more specialized care that they need that we can't necessarily provide in clinic. And that's at no charge to them. We have a number of specialty clinics. At our Southside clinic, for example, and here at the Salvation Army, we'll have a PT clinic on occasion. And then we'll also have a dermatology clinic at our Southside location. Our Safe Haven clinic provides psychiatric services. And then we also have the dental clinic here at Salvation Army.
Oh, it's here. Okay. Do you collect data on the health of the patients you're serving?
So each we collect data for each clinic. The most common diagnoses that we see would be hypertension, depression, asthma. Dental extractions are a big one at our dental clinic. We see quite a bit of anxiety and back pain. Be our top 5 or 6 diagnoses. As you can tell from that list, a lot of those are chronic issues. These aren't things that you would necessarily think would be the best fit for an acute care setting. And I think that's why our referrals network and our referrals team are really so essential to the way that we operate. And in that way, we're really more of sort of an entryway to the healthcare system, I think, than a direct healthcare service provider for a lot of our patients.
Give me your assessment of the need. Does the Madison area have a much greater need than you're able to provide for? Is there a long waiting list to get into these clinics? Are some people suffering and still unable to get in order to receive the care that they need? Or are you able to address the majority of people's needs who don't have health insurance?
Well, the need that exists is certainly much greater than, I think, all of these resources combined. A lot of the clinics that are available are at capacity, and there are waiting lists, or they're not able to provide the quality or the type of services that patients need all of the time. It's also, I think, difficult in general for patients to establish long-term relationships with any one clinic or provider because either the patient's moving or the staff in these different places is often turning over.
During our visit to the Medic clinic, we took some time to speak with 2 patients, Samela and Linda. First, we spoke with Samela.
Let's talk about what brought you to the clinic.
I was diagnosed last month with type 1 diabetes, and it's hard to get the insulin shots, medicine that I need, so.
If the clinic wasn't here, would there be any other way for you to access the care that you need?
An access clinic over on East Wash.
So you've used that clinic as well?
Mm-hmm.
How often are you able to access medical care between here and the access clinic? Are you able to see a doctor when you feel that you need to?
Yes.
And are you covered with any kind of insurance?
No,
or Medicaid
kind of insurance.
Or okay.
No.
Have you ever tried to access the Medicaid program?
I'm not sure how. So, I think I got some kind of papers in the mail a couple of times, but I'm not sure if they actually insurance because I haven't heard from anybody.
Hmm.
So,
have you ever had any kind of health insurance coverage or?
I had AARP. I was living in Mansfield, Ohio, about 6 years ago, and I had to drop them because I lost my job. So.
And are you currently employed or?
No, I'm seeking work.
Okay.
As we speak.
So that that connection comes up again of having employment determines whether you get access
right
to health care.
Exactly.
And it's not necessarily the case that people who are unemployed don't need health care.
Certainly not.
Really. That insulin is expensive. I guess we're trying to figure out how I'm going to be able to pay it because type 1 diabetic, I'll be there for the rest of my life, so imagine that.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I'm just curious. There's something called single-payer health care. Have you ever heard of that?
No. Single-parent health care?
Payer.
Payer. Oh.
Payer, like P-A-Y-E-R.
Oh, payer.
Single-payer.
I've never heard of that.
I'm just curious because they have it in Canada.
Okay.
And the neat thing about it is everybody has the same health insurance. Everybody. Because it's not based on whether you have a job or not. What would you think about something like that in the United States?
That would be simply marvelous. I thought maybe I was going to move to Canada. It would have been nice. That would have been nice.
Yeah.
But they don't have that here? I mean, that's sad.
Your overall experience being a patient with the Medic Clinic, how would you describe that?
My overall experience. These doctors here, they're amazing. They are simply amazing. When I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, I think it was February the 7th, I stayed in the hospital for 4 days. They never left my side the whole time I was there. Never left my side. I thought that was amazing. I say for somebody to care about me more than I cared about myself was simply wonderful.
Next, we talk to Linda.
Presumably, you found out about the clinic because you're staying here. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you have you been to the clinic before, or was this your first
second
visit?
Time?
Have you been able to access medical care in any other setting, or has this been your primary?
I had to go to the ER one night because I had some problem breathing, some coughing. But otherwise, I go here.
Okay, so this would be your primary home for health care, or would there be any other place?
Not in Madison, I don't think.
And do you have any insurance or Medicaid or Badger Care?
Not right now. I'm trying to get some Medicare.
Really? Through the Medicaid or Medicare?
I'm not for certain. I had the paperwork, but I haven't got it done yet.
And have you had insurance coverage or Medicaid in the past?
I had the Ford card when my son turned 19. I think there's a cutoff date because he isn't in school right now, and they cut that off.
Right. Yeah, that's the unfortunate piece. Once your children turn 19, you lose that coverage. Have you ever tried to access care in another place and been told that you couldn't receive care or turned away?
No. I was never turned away.
And how would you describe your experience here with the Medic Clinic?
The people are very nice. They're willing to help you, but I think they're limited because I'm limited because of the insurance. But yeah, they're good.
Do you feel your needs are greater than what Medic can provide? Do you feel? Oh, you need to? Okay.
That's what I mean. They're limited, uh-huh. and I need more than what they got.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you have chronic. I have chronic pain, so it's not an easy thing to have. So they're limited to helping me.
Yeah, I mean, so you could see a need for ongoing medical care available to you, you know, to everyone, whether you have the ability to pay or a job or...
Yeah, there is a need for this stuff. It would probably be the most fairest thing to do for everybody. It's equal. Man, woman, and child.
Okay, that wraps up this evening's edition of Health Writers on the Air. I want to thank all of the staff and patients at Medic who took time to discuss some of these important themes and issues within the realm of healthcare and make this report possible. Also, would like to thank Steve Blank, co-producer, co-host, co-health writer. If you would like more information on the Medic clinics, you may visit their website, and that would be www.med.wisc.edu/medic. Also, visit Health Writers on the web at healthwriters.wordpress.com for past editions of our program and to find out about volunteering, becoming a member of the Health Writers Collective. Be sure to tune in for our April 12th Health Writers program when we'll report on the threat of contamination posed by the Madison Kipp Corporation manufacturing plant on the Near East Side of Madison. Up next on WART is Radio Literature. And first, I believe we have a few announcements from Steve.
Thanks, Mary. We do have a little extra time here, so I'm going to fit these in. First of all, on Tuesday, March 27th, at 5:30 at the Rainbow Bookstore, About Face, Military Resisters Turn Against War, a discussion with Courage to Resist organizer Emma Cape on the intersection of military resistors, organizing, and the WikiLeaks Bradley Manning case as his trial draws near. Courage to Resist is a group of concerned community members, veterans, and military families that supports military objectors to illegal war and occupation and the policies of empire. About Face is a new book profiling military resistors and their courageous stances, coordinated and edited by the organization's staff. For information, call 257-6050 or visit Rainbow Books at www.rainbowbookstore.coop. Well, that does it for tonight's show. Thank you for listening.
Oh, help me, please, doctor. I'm damaged.